welcome. Welcome to City First. I'm so glad that you're with us here today, whether you're with us at one of our locations or at City First anywhere, right there in your home. We are just excited that you are a part today. You know, one day I had a staff member ask me a question. And what they proceeded to ask was this. They said, "Hey, Jer, you seem to always step into your fears and not allow scary things to stop you from trying. Have you always been this way?" And I laughed and I was like, "Well, first of all, I'm glad that that's what you see, because that's not always the reality. The honest truth is that I many times deal with fear, or I'm afraid just like everybody else. And you know what? I just choose sometimes not to be controlled by fear. But I also said this, the only time that you've seen me win the battle of fear are the times you're talking about. There have been plenty of times in my life where I beat fear, but then there's also been plenty of times where I allowed fear to beat me." I'm like, "You just don't see those times." And they were like, "Oh, okay." And I go, "Honestly," I go, "I think we are all in the same journey. That's the story of everyone in the room today. There are days that you are brave, and there are days that you are not. Can I get a big amen on that, right? I mean, there's days that I'm like, man, I'm gonna take the day. This is amazing. Carpe diem, right? And there's other days I'm like, I'd rather go to bed." You know, I love what Nelson Mandela said in his book, Long Walk to Freedom. He said this about bravery. He said, "I learned that courage was not the absence of fear, but the triumph over it. I felt fear myself more times than I can remember, but I hid it behind a mask of boldness." Isn't that amazing? "The brave man is not he who does not feel afraid, but he who conquers that fear." So today, what I want to talk about is doing it afraid. How to live life, and many times, you're afraid. In other words, how to make the repetitive right choices to not allow fears, the fears of this world, the fears of your life, the fears that are in your sphere of living, to not allow those fears to dictate the direction of your life, but rather you overcome those fears. Last week, I started talking about a guy in the Old Testament by the name of Gideon. He lived thousands of years ago, and I told you that I was gonna finish up my sermon this week. It was gonna kind of be a two-part sermon. So if you didn't hear last week, go back online to our website, cityfirst.church, and listen to it. I think it's gonna be a helpful thing to you. But even if you didn't hear last week, it's okay. Today stands on its own. I wanna talk about this guy, Gideon. He was an underdog, and yet also he was full of fear. God called him a hero, even though he hadn't done anything heroic yet. I think it's interesting. God said, "You're a hero," and he hadn't done anything heroic. And so God saw potential in Gideon that Gideon didn't even see in himself. And this week, I want to continue his story. And I want to talk about how there are multiple times in life that you must choose whether you're going to live by fear or whether you're going to live by faith. And we have that choice almost every single day. Right now in this world, but I would say it's not just now, it's been since the beginning, every single generation would probably say this, there's a lot to fear. There's a lot to fear in current events. There's a lot to fear when it comes to maybe even some health concerns, maybe some personal challenges. Maybe you're fearing the unknown, the what if moments of your life, or you're fearing the future. And I would say this, it's easy in life to allow fear to become your compass. In other words, that whatever you fear all of a sudden becomes the compass of your life, and it navigates how you live, how you talk, where you go. And that can be in our relationships, it can be in finances, it can be our career, it can be in life in general. So here's the million-dollar question. Is it possible to live without fear? Is that possible? Now, I'm going to just be honest. This is the Jeremy answer, okay? I don't want to talk on behalf of God on this. This is what I think. I don't think it's possible to live without fear. I think that fear wants to become your compass, but even if you choose to not allow it to be a compass in your life, it sometimes is your companion. It sometimes travels with you. Jocko Willink says this. He goes, Do not run from fear, understand it. And that's actually a very powerful truism. And whether he knows it or not, that's actually a biblical truism. He's right, because fear is a part of life. I don't think it is possible to live your life absent of fear, but we must understand fear in the light of God's power and provision and presence. Does that make sense? And so here's the thing. If you live your life with fear as your compass, you will live a diminished life compared to what God would like for your life to be. You know, another way of saying it is, everything worth having in this life is on the other side of fear, risk, and hard work. You want a better marriage, you got to get over the fear, you got to take a risk, you got to work really hard at it. You want to build a business, you got to get over the fear, you got to take risk, and you got to work your little patootie off. You understand that? I mean, it's just the way it is. You want to do good in school, you got to get past the fear, the risk, and the hard work. What you want in life is on the other side of those things. So Gideon, our man Gideon, our unlikely hero, was a Jewish man who lived thousands of years ago. And at that moment, the Jewish people, which were God's people, they were under oppression from an enemy because they had disobeyed God and started worshiping false idols. And so this Midianite nation, it was called the Midianites, they invaded in and they basically took captive the Israelites and oppressed them. And because of their disobedience, they were living underneath this oppression. They cried out to God, and God heard their cries and raised up a man by the name of Gideon, who, in a sense, God was saying to him, I want you to do something that's very brave and do something that's very risky. This is it in Judges chapter 6, verse 14. God said, go in this might of yours. In other words, God said, I'm going to give you strength. Go in this might of yours and save Israel from the hand of Midian. Do not I send you. Now, this would be like me taking a ping pong ball and throwing it in the crowd and doinking one of you on the head and saying, God says you're gonna save America. I mean, right? Gideon's like, excuse me? Me? What? Huh? And the reason why we're even talking about Gideon this week is because, like we talked about last week, he said yes. He said yes to God, but I'll tell you what. He said, yes, I will help bring freedom to your people, God. I will say yes, but I'm also super hesitant, and I'm also not too enthusiastic about the whole thing. And isn't that kind of what we are like? Sometimes we're like, God, yes. And then we're kind of like, but I'm not real excited about this. Gideon is a reluctant hero. And I think a lot of times that's what we are too. We're reluctant in our yes. So what does God hear Gideon say back to him? So God's going, you're going to do this. And then Gideon answers back in verse 15. I think this is funny. He goes, please, Lord, how can I save Israel? Behold, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. He starts coming up with all of these, well, I'm less than, I can't, I have a deficiency, I'm disqualified. He comes up with this list. And I think we can relate, because you come to church, you hear me or somebody talk and challenge you, you can do this, and you walk out and you're like, yeah, maybe he was talking to her or to him or to them, but not to me, right? We start creating that list. I think we can relate, because like in 1992, I was 22 years old, and I was interning here at this church. And the senior leaders of the church at the time approached me, and they said that they had a vision to start a new ministry here. And this ministry would be one where young adults, post-high school, young adults would come, probably from around the nation, but definitely from Rockford too, and basically they would come for a year of discipleship and life training and spiritual leadership. And so they put me on a plane. I'm 22 years old. They put me on a plane to Phoenix, Arizona. And I went to go observe a church and shadow a church that had a similar kind of program. And so my assignment was I was to go out there and take copious notes and figure out what they were doing. So I shadowed the ministry. I interviewed the leader of that ministry. I spent 2 weeks out there. Now, this was a powerful ministry out there. I mean, they had this massive church. And I mean, there are these students from all over the nation learning the word of God, doing ministry, developing as leaders, making a difference in the city of Phoenix and beyond. And at the end of the 2 weeks, I got on the phone, and this is back in the day when you had the corded phones. I got on the phone, and I called back to the pastor here in Rockford, and I said this, I can't do it. I literally did. I was like, I can't do it. This is too big of a task. I'm not even sure our church can do it. I don't know how to create this ministry. I know you want me to create it and run it, but I'm not sure I'm your guy. I don't know who would attend. I mean, I came up with this laundry list of all the reasons why I was disqualified and I had deficiencies and I was less than. And compared to what I was seeing, I'm like, there's no way in the world that I can do this. And the pastor on the other end said, oh, Jeremy, just get back here and we're gonna figure it out. So I came home. And over the next year, from 1992 to 1993, I worked on building this ministry that would become the Rockford Master's Commission. It would launch in the fall of 1993. It is now over 30 years old. It now is called City First Leadership College. And over the last 30 years, this is not an exaggeration, over the last 30 years, there have been millions of people that have been ministered to from this ministry, not just here, but around the nation and through the traveling and through our school assemblies and all those kind of things. There's been over 1,300 students that have come through this thing. It has been an amazing ministry and something that, quite honestly, I am so grateful to God for. But I want you to hear this. Fear almost aborted that vision. Fear almost stopped it from happening. All of what the Master's Commission, AKA now also the Leadership College, all that God has done through the last 30 years. I mean, like a ton of our staff has gone through that and are now employed here. They would not be here. Like all of that ministry would have not happened. All those people being discipled, it would have not happened. All of that wouldn't have happened if Jeremy DeWert would have given in to fear at that moment. Thankfully, I had people around me like that pastor who said, come on, Jer, you can do this. Don't worry about it. We'll figure it out. We'll pray. It's going to be God's ministry anyway. Thank goodness I listened and I made some of those choices because I'm so grateful 30 years later. What is fear stopping you from doing right now? I mean, think about it. What is fear stopping you from doing right now? Going back to school, finding that new job? Is fear keeping you from tithing or giving? Is fear keeping you from going to a life group, from having that difficult conversation that you've been putting off for months? Is fear keeping you from pursuing that dream that God put in your heart? What is fear roadblocking in your life? See, Gideon starts making all these excuses. You know, I'm weak, I'm not equipped, I don't come from a tribe of warriors, I come from a tribe of wussies. I mean, my tribe is not great. My family of origin, I mean, I'm the youngest kid. In that day and age, the youngest son didn't do anything before the older sons did something. He's like giving all the excuses. And here's what I know. We are really good at coming up with a laundry list of disqualifications. I'm not smart enough. I haven't had the education. I'm not talented. I don't have enough money. People are not going to listen to me. I'll never be good at that. I've tried it once and I've already failed. See, these are things that we come up with in our head. So what does God say back to Gideon? I think this is interesting. This is phenomenal. Of course, it's God, so it's phenomenal, right? Judges 6:16, he goes, but I will be with you. So here's Gideon, but, and all God says is, but I'll be with you. Now notice something, notice what God didn't do. God didn't look at Gideon and go, oh, come on, buddy, you're a good guy. You're gonna do it. You're amazing. Here, let me list out to you the five ways that you are talented. He didn't answer any of Gideon's excuses. He didn't speak back or address any of Gideon's concerns. All he said is, I will be with you. And the reason I bring that up is because when you are facing something that puts a little fear in your heart, guess what? Some of those reasons that you feel like you can't go through that opposition, over it, whatever it is, those are real. Like they're not made up. Some of them maybe are made up, but guess what? Some of them are real. And I believe that Gideon, some of the things that he said were true. He didn't grow up in a tribe of warriors. He had never been trained for war. That's true. He wasn't making that up. And God didn't even answer that. Instead, all God said, and by the way, all God says to you and I, when we come up with our laundry list of reasons, all he says is, I will be with you. And that's all that we really need. You can give that a round of applause. I know some of you are like, I want to clap. God said in Hebrews, I will never leave you. I will never abandon you. So we can be sure when we say, I will not be afraid because the Lord is my helper. What gives us the ability to overcome fear? Who we're with, not what we have. Does that make sense? Who we're with, not what we can do. So you may not be qualified for the battle, but guess what? God is. And all Gideon needed was to know that God was with him. And all we need is to know that God is with us. I think Gideon was a little bit intrigued by God's assignment. I think there was a part of him that he had been under oppression for so long. In fact, history recounts that Gideon's brother was murdered by the Midianites. So, I mean, he has... His blood, in a sense, has been taken because of the Midianite oppression. His kinship, his family has been impacted. I mean, there's all kinds of things going on. So there's part of him that's like, yeah, I want to overtake the enemy. But simultaneously, he was afraid and had many questions. And this is so important for us to understand that as people, many times we are living as two people at once. What do I mean by that? Well, we're living like two people at once. There's one part of us that says, go for it! And the other part of us that goes, I don't wanna be uncomfortable. Or there's another part of us that goes, we'll stretch, let's do this. And then the other part of us that goes, I don't think I can do it. It's like there's two of us living inside of us. You know, there's two minds, there's two hearts, there's two motivations. And you know, part of us goes, I'm gonna do what God wants me to do. And then the other part of us says, I wanna do what I wanna do. You know, presently as a church, we've been doing this now for years, actually. It actually started before COVID. We had a vision, Jen and I, that we really wanted to see God launch an empowerment center out of City First. So it'd be called the City First Empowerment Center. Say, what's an empowerment center? It'd be another location of City First, but it would be strategically located in a place where it would help give lift to those people that are under-resourced in our community. Like it would give the ability for us to do after-school programming for students at risk. It would help people with food insecurity. We could even have different classes that help people like learn how to fill out a resume, how to get a job. I mean, all these things. But we would do it in the name of Jesus. That we would do it with the hope of Jesus. And so we were like all going for this, and then COVID hit, then COVID. Remember COVID, anybody? Okay, COVID, right? Okay. Kind of put everything on hold for a season. But now about a year and a half ago, we started firing this up again. We got our own 501c3. We've been working with the city. I've met with the mayor. I've been talking to community leaders. We've been doing second Saturday serve efforts. We've distributed 3.5 plus million pounds of food. We're starting to do stuff without a building yet, but we're starting to kind of get the engine going, you could say. And we're proactively searching for a building in a specific area of town where we want the right building that we can actually establish this empowerment center. We'd also hold church services out of it. And so here's the part of me just being honest and being transparent. That's a great vision. I think that's a vision that just, I mean, that just revs me up, man. But I'll tell you what, it's also going to cost hundreds of thousands of dollars to do. That's the part of me that I'm not so excited about. That's the part of me that gives me a little bit of trepidation. And I don't know if you've noticed this or not, but our economy is a little wonky right now. Cost of living is higher, which means that some people, it's a little bit harder for them to give. And so that impacts us because giving, it basically supplies everything you see. So we're not getting income from anywhere else than people's you know, obedient giving and generosity. That's what makes this place run. That's the fuel, all right? And so at the time that we're like wanting to do great vision and it's gonna be expensive is the time when the economy is not so hot. And I, in the middle of the night, I'll wake up and I'll be like, God, we're gonna keep on going with wisdom to try to figure this out. We're not gonna be impetuous. We're going to get a lot of counsel. We're gonna try to do this right. But I'm a little scared, God. I'm a little scared of taking this step right now in this economy. And then I'm reminded this church started in 1929. Anybody know what was going on in the world in 1929? It was called the Great Depression. There were bread lines, people without work, and you know what? Someone said, Rockford needs a church. We're going to go for it. We are going to, in a sense, start this church. And it reminds me that, you know what? God's vision supersedes economies. It supersedes circumstances. It supersedes the barriers. So I'm like, okay, we're gonna be wise. We're not gonna be foolish. We're gonna be wise. But sometimes that vision that God gave us is quite honestly a little daunting. And it'd be easier to just be a church that's open on Sundays. We have a couple few services or whatever, and then we close and we'll see you next Sunday. But God never called us to do that at City First. We're a Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday kind of church. We are in the communities that we are in, whether it be in Cape Coral, Janesville, at God Behind Bars, our correctional center. In fact, let me even say this. I'm right now in talks with starting another God Behind Bars location in Wisconsin. And you know what? It's gonna cost some money. But again, I'm like, you know what? Do people need Jesus in the correctional centers? Yes. And so here's the thing. My point is this. Sometimes you have to do it afraid. You just have to do it afraid. What gives us confidence? Not confidence in ourselves. Here it is, Gideon. God is with us. That's it. If God is with us, then guess what? We can live with both faith and fear. We can live filled with both courage and sometimes cowardice. We can live with confidence and questioning. I mean, these things are at war inside of us, and we can be assured yet anxious. We can be willing yet sometimes feel weak. We can be ready and yet sometimes feel reluctant. All of these things are at war within in us, but we are reminded that God is with us. So therefore, in this tension, we choose faith. We choose faith. And in the same way, that's the way you and I are supposed to live. Gideon's yes, saying yes to God, was full of both faith and some fear. And I don't know if faith and fear actually exist without each other. I think they're always there. The question is, which one wins? You know, I would say that we have this idea of heroes in our life, whether they be faith heroes or business heroes or community heroes or, you know, whatever, okay? We have this idea that they just are always confident, they never doubt, and they are just fearless. And the reality is, that's not true. Every person we look up to did it afraid. You understand that? And what is God asking you to do? I mean, I give the example of an empowerment center, but here's the thing. God's also asking me to fix certain things in my life. God's asking me to step and stretch in certain areas of my everyday life. Not sensational stuff, just stuff that sometimes makes me afraid. And if we wait until the fear is gone and there's no anxiety and no nerves, we will wait for all eternity. Because at some point, those things don't go away. They have to be conquered. Does that make sense? So in the remaining time we have together, I want to real quickly shotgun to you some things that you can do so that you can live, in a sense, doing it afraid. What's the first thing you got to do? Understand what you wear. Understand what you wear. You're like, all right, I love fashion. This is good. I like this point. Judges 6:34, God is speaking to Gideon. He says this, but the Spirit of the Lord clothed Gideon. Do you know the Bible talks about how we put on a garment of praise? Like we worship God, we put on a garment of praise. Do you know that every day we're also supposed to put on a garment of power? The power that is not our power, it's not our ability, but you know what? Instead, it is God's power working through us. God was promising Gideon, hey, listen, Gideon, I'm going to clothe you in strength. I'm going to clothe you in power. I'm going to clothe you in favor to accomplish this task. And it's not just for Gideon. Some of you are like, well, that's a great story for him. No, Jesus said this to his followers in the New Testament, which means he's saying it to us too. It says in Luke chapter 24, verse 49, Jesus says, I'm going to send you what my Father had promised, meaning the Holy Spirit. But stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. So Jesus is saying, God is going to clothe you with power. He's going to use strength on top of your strength, favor on top of your favor, ability on top of your ability. And without God, you can't win. But with God, every battle is winnable because the battle belongs to the Lord. So what do? Day in and day out, we get up in the morning and you say, God, I am clothing myself in your power today. This is not me. It is you working through me. Then go to work, go to school, go to the gym, wherever you go, all right? Number two, second thing, realize less is more. You're not gonna like this point because none of us do. But less is more. Gideon had assembled 32,000 men to attack the Midianites. And God spoke to Gideon and said, Gideon, it's too many people, too many soldiers. When have you ever heard of an army going, we got too many soldiers, right? So he told Gideon, he goes, Gideon, I want you to go to these men, to these soldiers, and I want you to ask them a question. Ask them if they are afraid. And if they are afraid to go into battle, let them go home. Like if I'm Gideon, I'm like, what? Are you kidding me? So he gets in front of them and he goes, hey, God said, if any of you are afraid and you're afraid to go into battle against the Midianites, you can go back to your wives and children and go back home. 22,000 of them left. 22,000 out of 32,000. Now, you know what? There's actually a reason why God did that. Because fear is contagious like the flu. And if you're hanging around people that are fearful, you'll become fearful. So therefore, God wanted to root out all the fear out of the camp so that there wasn't fear spreading throughout the ranks as they were attacking the enemy. Be careful who you hang around. Well, then God said, still, 10,000 people, that's too many. Gideon's probably like, are you kidding me? You're killing me, God. What do you mean too many? There's tens of thousands of Midianites, and we have 10,000 warriors. And God said, you know what I want you to do? I want you to take them down to this like spring, to this creek, let them drink water. Watch how they drink, because how they drink is gonna determine whether they stay in the army or they go home. And so the Bible says this in Judges 7:6, it said, only 300 of the men drank from their hands. In other words, they didn't keep their eyes focused down, but their eyes were kept on the battlefield, and they drank like this, keeping alert, where all the others, it says, got down on their knees and drank with their mouths in the stream, like kind of like a dog would, right? And so anybody who drank that way had to go home. There's only 300 left. And then God goes, you know what? This is the group I'm gonna use. This is the group. And you say, why did God do this? Well, in Judges chapter 7, verse 2, God gives a hint as to why. He says this, the Lord said to Gideon, you have too many warriors with you. If I let all of you fight the Midianites, the Israelites will boast to me that they saved themselves by their own strength. You know why God has you fight battles sometimes that are bigger than you? Is because if you only fought battles that you yourself could win, you wouldn't give any credit to God. You would take all the credit. Look at who I am. Look at what I've done. But then every once in a while, you come up against an enemy that's bigger than you. And what does God do? He even reduces your ranks. And you're like, oh my gosh. Well, here's the thing. If you're up against impossible odds, if you're up against daunting mountains in front of you, you have to get over. If you're up against something that makes you scared and it's bigger than you, that is the perfect kind of scenario where God shows up in power and he gets all the credit and you don't get any. And people say there is a God. There is a God. So sometimes God actually reduces your ranks to give you a victory. Number three. Also, you got to face your fear. Face your fear. We say that a lot. But here's a story. It's kind of interesting. In Judges chapter 7, verses 9 and 10, that night the Lord said to Gideon, get up, go down. Turn to the person next to you and say, go down. Got to remember this, all right? Go down into the Midianite camp, for I have given you victory over them. But if you are afraid to attack, go down. Turn to the other person and say, go down to the camp with your servant, Purah. Okay, now, God, let me get this straight. If I'm afraid to go down into the camp, I should go down into the camp. What? It's brilliant. Of course, it's God, it's brilliant. You know why? The only way to control fear is that you have to have it lose its control over you. And the only way you can have it lose its control over you is to face it, not avoid it. You got to conquer it. Because as long as you create a distance between you and what you fear, distance creates distortion. You think it's bigger than what it is. So you know what? You have to, if you want to get over a fear of speaking, speak. Some of you are like, oh, I don't want to do that. You want to get over a fear of being bold with your faith? Be bold with your faith. You want to get over a fear of giving money? Give money. If you want to get over the fear of being vulnerable, be vulnerable. You want to get over the fear of going to a life group? Go to a life group. You see, you do what you don't want to do. You go where you don't want to go. You step out where you don't want to step out. It's the only way to conquer fear. It's the only way to do it. Like God's not gonna take a magic wand and what you fear, he's just gonna doink it on the head and it's gonna disappear. No, you have to face it. And when you get close to it, you many times realize it's not as scary as what you thought it was gonna be. Number four, in closing, if you wanna do it afraid, you gotta worship to win. Worship to win. In fact, you know, Gideon, he sneaks into the Midianite camp and he brings his servant, which means he's scared. Okay? And so they go down there and they listen to these two enemy soldiers talking. And he overhears one of them say, I had this dream, and tells the dream. And the other one comments in verse 14 and 15, he says this, well, your dream can mean only one thing. God has given Gideon, son of Joash, the Israelite victory over Midian and all its allies. Oh, I wish I had time to preach just a sermon on this. First of all, the enemy knows your name. And the enemy's a little scared, not because of you, but because of God in you. And here it is, the enemy is saying in Gideon's presence, we're gonna be defeated. And when Gideon heard the dream and its interpretation, what did he do? He bowed in worship before the Lord. In other words, he worshiped. And then he returned to the Israelite camp and he shouted to those 300 men. He said, get up, for the Lord has given you victory over the Midianite hordes. In other words, he went to the enemy's camp and he saw what was going on and it gave him confidence. He worshiped. He goes, God, thank you. You are bigger than this enemy. You are bigger than this sickness. You are bigger than this problem in my life. You are bigger than this financial circumstance that I'm dealing with. You're bigger than that. And as he worshiped, his confidence grew. You understand that? And so worship does that. Worship exalts God over the situation and brings confidence in who God is and what he's gonna do through you. Now, there was this song in the 90s, and granted, it kind of had this camp meeting kind of hee-haw kind of feel to it. we used to sing it all the time in the early 90s. And it went something like this. I went to the enemy's camp and I took back what he stole from me, and I took back what he stole from me, and I took back what I stole from me. Yeah, okay, so here's it. Went to the enemy's camp, right? You see, Garrett's getting excited here. He remembers these days. And then it went on to this one part of the song. It says, you know what? He's under my feet. He's under my feet. He's under my feet. And then Satan is under my feet. Now, we got really crazy. If we got really crazy, we'd go into another song. And that song would go, look what the Lord has done. Look what the Lord has done. And then he healed my body. He touched my mind. He saved me just in time, right? And, you know, you kind of do one of these things. You know what I mean? You know, right? All right. How many of you remember that song? Any oldies but goodies here? Okay, right? Now, listen, the song was kind of cheesy. I'm not going to lie. The song was a little cheesy. It was the 90s, all right? But this is what I loved about that song. What I loved about that song, and both of those songs actually, is it declared God's power over our situation and over the enemy, and it also declared our authority because we're believers in Christ. And sometimes we forget that. I think we forget God's power and how he's already defeated the enemy. And also, on top of that, we forget the authority that we carry. We are clothed in his power every single day. So our worship, you know what it does? It makes fear begin to diminish and faith begins to rise up. What are you afraid of today? What are you afraid of today? Well, you know what? Clothe yourself in the power of God and the power of his word. Realize less is more. You might feel things reduce before you actually have victory. You gotta face your fear though. Don't run from it. It ain't going away. The only way to conquer it and to control it is to look it in the eye. And the fourth thing, you gotta worship to win. You gotta worship, and that worship builds a confidence in you of who God is and what he will do through you. Let me pray. Lord, I just thank you that, God, this is a room full of Gideons, unlikely heroes, reluctant warriors. Sometimes we want to say yes, but yet that fear wells up on the inside. God, I pray today that we would have your confidence. And Lord, I pray that today we would understand that you are with us. If we're facing a health need, a financial need, a marriage need, a parenting need, a school need, whatever it is, Lord, I pray that, God, we would remember you are with us and the battle belongs to you. The battle is not won because of our ability. The battle is won because of you. You are more than able. We love you. With every head bowed and every eye closed, some of you today might say, my biggest fear is giving my life to Jesus because I don't know what that all the way means and maybe I'll, you know, mess up and what. Okay, listen, if that's your biggest fear, what I'm gonna tell you is give your life to Jesus. And guess what? You will find that the enemy has been selling you a lie about that. And instead, you will discover life and life to the fullest, like the Bible says, and that your sin will be forgiven. So if you say, I want to give my life to Jesus, I want to step past the fear, I want to give my life to Jesus, if that's you, with every head bowed and every eye closed, go ahead and just raise your hand at every location right now. Yeah, hands are up everywhere, even online, maybe in your living room. Let me pray with you. Let's all pray this prayer together. If you raise your hand, say it out loud. God's listening specifically to you, but we're all going to join in. Ready? Jesus, I come to you today, and I ask forgiveness for all my sin. Come into my heart, be the leader of my life. Thank you for dying for me. I want to live for you. Thank you for loving me with an unconditional love. In Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. Come on, give God a huge round of applause. Can we do that?
Well, if you made that decision to make Jesus the leader and the forgiver of your life, congratulations. Yeah. It is the best decision that you will ever make. And we just want to say thank you for being here with us, because that was such a powerful word. Yeah. And maybe you made that decision and you're going, hey, what now? What do I do? Well, let me just give you a couple different things that we would just suggest that would be really, really helpful. Number one is let somebody know.
Yep.
Tell somebody. Maybe you have a friend, maybe you have a family member, maybe you have somebody else that's a follower of Jesus that you could say, hey, I made this decision. It's one of the things that will help you come alongside to be in community with somebody. The second thing is this. Grab the resource. There's a QR code on your screen, or you can go to the app or our website to pick it up. It's simply called New Beginning, and basically it answers that question, now what? Where do I start to read in the Bible? How do I read the Bible? How do I pray? Some basic information that's going to help you on your journey. And then Candace is going to share with you a third one that's going to be super helpful.
That's right. And whether you made that decision today to make Jesus the leader and forgiver of your life, or you made it years ago, if you haven't already gone through Growth Track, we want everybody to go through Growth Track. It's a class that's designed to help you discover your gifts, discover your divine design. And you learn a little bit about the church, but you learn more about how God has created you and how he's wired you up. And so we'd love for you to jump into Growth Track. It starts at the beginning of each month. Yeah. You can hop on the app, sign up for Growth Track. It's in person and online. It's just such an incredible resource. It's completely free and it's just for you. And it's just a couple of weeks and then you're all set.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you need prayer for anything, maybe you're walking through something.
Yeah.
Maybe you're just going, man, life has been pretty difficult recently and I would love for somebody to pray with you. We have teams that pray throughout the week. And so you can drop it in the chat right now. You can send it to us on the app or on the website. And we have pastors and just team members that are praying all throughout the week. And we'd love to do that for you. And if you're going, man, I would love to continue just to grow, there's a daily reading plan on our app that you can just simply hop onto and read that just as a word of encouragement, continue moving forward. And so we'd encourage you to be a part of that and just do everything you can to continue to grow in your faith in those areas.
That's right. And we are in just finishing up our second week of the 21 days of prayer. And so on the app, through the daily reading plans, we're going through it day by day. It's not too late to jump in. You can finish this week strong with that every day. There's a little prayer prompt and it's a prayer that we're all praying together as a church. And so it's been so encouraging. We pray it's been an uplifting time. So go ahead, hop on that this week. Let's finish the 21 days of prayer strong. Yes. It's been such an incredible time. We've heard so many stories of so how people miracles, have been engaging, but even stories of just healing and stories of God's faithfulness throughout this time. And so, hey, we love you guys so much. We are so excited. It's been such a fantastic Sunday. Yeah. Hey, make sure you make plans to be here, whether it's in person, online for next Sunday. We're praying for you guys. Yep. Have such a great week.